Well, we're going to think about that passage which I read a little bit earlier on in our service in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, when Matthew tells us about how Jesus was born. If you're using one of the Red Church Bibles, the reading is on page 965, if you need to find it again in a pinch. It's really hard work trying to name a baby. It's really hard work trying to think up of names to find to name a baby. Now, Andrew, you've just recently had a baby. How easy did you find it choosing Everly's name? It's a whole 9-month process, he says. Was there quick agreement, or was there significant amounts of debate and shifting? Wow, we were a house divided. Andrew, for those of you who don't know, do congratulate him after the service. They had Everly Day was born just a couple of weeks ago. On the 14th of December, excellent. And they've had a baby. So they've known what it is to try and name a baby. Now, when you're coming to name a baby, there's a few different things which you can do. The first thing you could do is perhaps go onto the internet and you could look up what's the most popular boys' and girls' names at the moment to see if that's going to give you a little bit of inspiration. Maybe you'll end up calling your little boy Oliver or Joshua. Or maybe you'll go for one of the flower names like Lily or Daisy. But then, inevitably, you're going to go out to the shops and you're going to buy yourself a book of baby names. Now, these books are wonderful. They're normally like 400 pages of every name that the authors have ever heard of for a baby. So you turn to the first page, page 1 for boys, under A, and it'll be Abel, Abelford, Abelforth, and you'll go through all these names, hoping that one of these names is going to jump off the page and catch you. Or maybe you end up just flicking through and randomly seeing, reading out names, seeing if you try it. What about Terry? Maybe Lamar? Maybe William? As you desperately search for a book, looking for a name. And then you start to think, well, we want the baby's name to mean something. We want the baby's name to mean something that means something to us because we like it, or maybe so that it has a special meaning, that the name means something. And Christmas, having a baby at Christmas, provides all sorts of excellent baby naming opportunities. Especially if you have a girl, you could call her Holly, you could call her Ivy, you could call her Joy. Boys have got more limited in their options. I think really your only real choice if you have a Christmas boy is to call him Noel. But that can have awkward Mr. Blobby connotations. Well, our passage this morning at the very first Christmas would see Joseph having to try and come up with a name for this baby that Mary is expecting. You see, back in Jesus' day, choosing the name of the baby wasn't a team effort like it was for Andrew and Elizabeth. It wasn't a place where the house was divided. What the dad says went. And so it would have been up for Joseph to have to come up with the name for this baby. But you've got to feel sorry for Joseph. When you open up your Bibles and you get to chapter 1 of Matthew's Gospel, right at the beginning of the New Testament, right at the beginning of the Christmas story, because poor old Joseph has had the shock of his life. Verses 18 to 19, right at the beginning of our passage. Joseph discovers that Mary, the young girl that he's engaged to marry, that Mary is expecting a baby. And worst of all, the baby is not Joseph's. This is a scandal. Joseph has had the shock of his life. Now, in Jesus' day, when you got engaged, that was as good as being married. It was a legal, almost written contract. As soon as you put a ring on it, you were married. As soon as you got engaged, that was it. You were locked in.
And it would be very hard to break that relationship. Joseph had had the shock of his life. Mary had a baby in her tummy, and he knew that he wasn't the daddy. But Joseph was a good man. He didn't want to cause, although his heart was broken, though he was really sad about it, he didn't want to cause a scene. He didn't want to get Mary in too much trouble. And so, verse 19, he quietly decided that he was going to divorce her. He wasn't going to go through and marry her. Well, poor old Joseph, he had another shock. Because he went to bed one night, and he closed his eyes, and he started to dream. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, when we think of angels, we often tend to think of those lovely little angels that we have in a really cute primary school nativity. You know the one, little girls in nice white tops, maybe a fluffy, tinsely halo and some lovely wings, and they just look really cute. Or maybe we think of angels and we think of those great classical paintings with those fat, naked baby cherubim kind of sort of beaming down on people. Or maybe those other ones where the angel just stands there serenely. Well, actually, when an angel of the Lord appears to you in a dream, it's not a cute little child, it's not wearing tinsel, it's not a cute little podgy baby. But when an angel of the Lord appears to you, you've got to be thinking of a fierce military type, like a massive 8-foot-high soldier with weapons and power and fierce authority. And Joseph has this dream and this massive angel of the Lord, scary, speaks on God's behalf. And he says to Joseph, I have an announcement to make. Verse 20, he says to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Well, that's the first wonderful bit of good news for Joseph. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This baby that is in Mary's tummy is from God. She's not being unfaithful. The baby that she's expecting that first Christmas is from the Holy Spirit. The baby that is in Mary's tummy is in fact God Himself. And as the angel of the Lord speaks to him, because the father is not Joseph, it's no longer up to Joseph to name this baby, but God the Father himself sets a name, and the angel tells him, you are to give him the name Jesus. The angel tells Joseph that they are to name the baby Jesus. Now, I wonder if it had been left up to Mary and Joseph, knowing that this baby was God, knowing that this baby had come from God, I wonder what they would have named the baby. I mean, we can definitely rule out they're not going to call him anything like Rudolph or Prancer or Claus. That sort of part of Christmas wasn't around. But it's a special baby. And I wonder what they would have called him. Would they have called the baby after the greatest prophet of Israel? Would they have called the baby after Moses, the one who rescued the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, the one who God spoke to and gave the law? Maybe they would have called him Mosa, which is that would have been their language version of Moses. Or maybe they'd have called the baby Aaron, after the greatest priest in Israel, the one who brought people to God, the one who was able to take people, perform the sacrifices, so that people could be forgiven. Or maybe, because of how great and mighty and powerful the Lord is, maybe they would have named the baby after one of the greatest kings of Israel. Maybe they'd have named him after King Solomon, the one who sat at the height of power over all Israel, the one who saw the country expand, the one who was so wise that even the Queen of Sheba traveled from Ethiopia all the way to Israel to seek out his wisdom. Well, the decision wasn't up to them. As the angel says in verse 21, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The angel of the Lord told him to call the baby Jesus. Now, I think being told to name your baby Jesus in those days would have been a bit of a letdown. Jesus was a super common name back then. The most common name among Jewish little boys in Jesus' day was Simon. But the second most common name was Jesus. It'd be a bit like saying, this baby is God himself, and we're going to call him Dave. It would be a super common name. But it was a name that, although it was common, although there were lots of little boys who were called Jesus, it was a name with a special meaning. Jesus, that baby in that mummy in Mary's tummy, was coming on a mission. And that mission was that God saves. That mission was that Jesus himself was going to rescue his people from their sins. It's right there at the beginning, even before Jesus is born, the angel is telling us what Jesus is coming to do, why he's coming. He's coming to save people from their sins. Now, why do we need saving? Why do people like us need saving? After all, we're good people, surely. We've given up our Sunday mornings. We've not gone out to play football. We've come to spend some time in a warm church building, to sing some carols, to pray, to read the Bible. Why do we need saving? Well, we do need saving. And I wonder if you happen to know that that good old Christmas song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Do you know the one, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, particularly by Michael Jackson in particular? Let me read you some of these lyrics. Michael Jackson sings, Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, where the song gets a little bit creepy, it comes about here. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, why do we need saving? Because even in that song, we, all of us, have been far more naughty than we have been nice. Jesus, when he grows up, he's going to summarize all of God's law, all of what Moses said, and he's going to summarize it with two great commandments, two ways for us to easily see whether we've been more naughty than nice. And the first great commandment that Jesus says is this. He says that we are to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, with all of our bodies. And we're not just to do it on a Sunday morning between 10:30 and lunchtime. We're to love God with every part of us, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our toes. And we're to do it all the time. We're to do it from when we wake up first thing in the morning. We're to do it when we go to sleep at the last thing at night. And we're to do it every single day. 365 days a year until Jesus comes again. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't been able to do that. I haven't loved God with all that I am at all times as powerfully as I possibly can. And that means that puts me in the naughty camp. That puts me in what the Bible calls sin, that I have sinned against God. But the second great commandment that Jesus gave us, to summarize what God said in his law, was he said that we are to love other people as we ourselves would want to be loved. So that means when your brother gets up in the morning and he really wants to play on your Nintendo and you don't want to let him have it, you let your brother play on the Nintendo and you share it with him. It means when your mum tells you to come and wash your hands for dinner, you go and wash your hands for dinner. It means when you see someone who is struggling in the shop, you help them. It means that you go the extra mile. It means that you always put others ahead of yourself. And I don't know about you, but I've not loved people as myself all the time. I might try and do it sometimes, but I'm not always very good at it. And Jesus says that if we don't love God at all times, if we don't love others as ourselves all of the time, then it's not just that we don't deserve presents. It's not just that we deserve coal. But actually, we deserve to be punished by God for how we've got it wrong, for how we've lived, for our sin. But the amazing, wonderful good news of Christmas is that that little baby in Mary's tummy was coming to rescue us from our sin. Jesus was coming at that first Christmas. And he was coming so that we wouldn't get cold, so we wouldn't get punished for our sin. Jesus, that little baby, was coming so that we could be rescued from our sin. But Jesus isn't the only name that we read in this passage that God gives Jesus. In verse 23, Matthew writes, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is not the only name he's given. He's also given the name Emmanuel. You see, that's an amazing name because that explains to us exactly how it is that a little baby, a little helpless baby that's growing in Mary's tummy, how a little baby is going to grow up and rescue us. Because he can only do this, he can only perform this amazing rescue by being fully and totally human, by being one of us, by being a little baby, but also by being God. To come and rescue us from our sins, we need someone who is fully human like us and who is fully God. Jesus, when he was born, was a total, complete, perfect human baby. He was a real baby. He was born. Jesus cried. Jesus pooed and weed, and if they had nappies, he would have filled those too. Jesus was a real, total baby. He would have cried and woken up the whole family in the middle of the night because he wanted some milk. Jesus came as a real baby. But Jesus also came as God. He has the amazing, cosmic, phenomenal power of God, but all in a teeny-weeny little baby. Jesus is God with us. You see, 2,000 years ago, if you'd have gone to Bethlehem, if you'd have tracked down Joseph and Mary as they'd gone to be registered at the census, and if you'd have seen that crying little baby, if you'd have held that little baby in your arms, you would have seen God. You could have picked him up. You could have held God in your arms. Jesus came from heaven. Jesus came to live with us, to be one of us, so that when he would grow up, he could die for us. Jesus came from heaven to die on the cross. He came to rescue us from our sin so that we can know God ourselves. Has Jesus come into the world for you? Then there's only one way in which we can be sure that Jesus, that first Christmas, came into the world for you. And that way is by saying, have you asked Jesus to forgive you your sin? Have you asked Jesus to rescue you and forgive you for all those times that you have failed to love God with all you have and have failed to love others as yourself? Because if you haven't, you can do that this Christmas time. Christmas is a wonderful time to remember what it was for God to become one of us. But it's also a wonderful time for us to ask God to forgive us for the very first time. And maybe you're here this morning and you want to do that. You want to pray and ask God, ask Jesus to forgive you. As I said at the beginning, choosing the right baby name is important. And it can be really hard work. But the names that were given to Jesus when he was born are amazing, important names. Because they tell us so much about Jesus. They tell us why he came to rescue us. And they tell us how he did it by coming to be with us. Which is why Christmas is such a joyous time as we remember that God himself came from heaven to rescue us.